Welcome to today's Mentor Moment. Mentor Moments are 10 minutes of our most impactful episodes packaged together for you. Today, Barry Napier. His company was valued at over 1 billion euro when he sold a large stake to SoftBank. He gives us his insights on decision making and leadership. Here's your Mentor Moment with Barry.
Like you move, it seems there, you move at such a lightning pace. How do you, talk to me about decision making? Because obviously you decide quick and then commit. Talk to me about how you think about that.
So the one thing about Cubic, there's no hierarchy in Cubic. So it's not Barry's decision. You know, we have a really strong leadership team that's in there. It's really good. We're very logical in how we approach something. Everything we have, and we'll talk about it during this, is a roadmap. Okay, so the one thing that I've seen either in Cubic when I came and during our life in Cubic, and I see it an awful lot with entrepreneurs and other companies, is their roadmap's not clear and not defined. Okay, so for me, you need to have a roadmap. It needs to be up on a wall. It needs to be visible in your office. And the reason for that is not just so you know where you're going. It's also to drive accountability into the team that, well, hold on, Gary, you knew that was coming. This is part of your deliverable. It needs to be there. Don't let the team down. And I think what happens an awful lot, especially with technology, because it's not visible, it's not there, there's ambiguity each time. Okay, having it there. And it's funny because there's a lot of the entrepreneurs that we're working with that we talked about earlier, and they're now putting up roadmaps into their office. And it sounds like a real remedial thing, but it's really, really clear.
I love it. That's why you use a notepad. That's why I have two whiteboards in my office. I love seeing it.
If you think about it, if you actually write it, it goes in. If you type it, it doesn't go in as much.
I feel that for me anyway, personally. Some people it works, they can. Now I use Notion. Notion is my second brain. Okay. Everything goes in Notion. Everything is captured there. But in terms of like actual day-to-day writing goes in Notepad.
So I still write, okay? I don't like typing. I've got mild dyslexia, so for me, it doesn't work. But once I write something, all the team will tell you, if Barry says it's there, it's there. So during any of the negotiations, like I've got an amazing team led by Shane in relation to doing the deal. So he led the deal with SoftBank, okay? Dave Kelly and others. And Shane will say to you, if he says it's in the docs, it's in the docs. Okay, so once I read it, it goes in.
Right.
And when you write it, it goes in. Typing for me doesn't do the trick as much.
Decision making.
Yep.
Come back to me on that. I want to ask you a different question.
Close that out. So it's not my decision. Okay. And if you scale a company, I think the one thing that founders suffer from is they have to control everything. Mm. Okay. And there's a FOMO there. And I think the one thing that I learned definitely in the latter part of Cubic was let go. Give people accountability, give them the space to fail. And if they fail, you don't kill them. You notify them, make sure they don't do it again. Okay. And that creates trust and accountability around the table. And like, you know, I was in a meeting recently and, you know, we're in, and I said, people around this table didn't read the deck. Okay. And I just went quiet. And two people turned and said, you're right, Barry, I didn't read it. And someone else says, you're right, I didn't read it. I said, well, look, it's evident. So it's not really a good use of our time. So come on, we're better than that. So we have a real safety in Cubic that people be really honest and really transparent. And that's because we've bought that all the way up to the business. Now, by the way, it sounds beautiful now. I'd say I was a narcissist. I was really hard work years ago because I was crazy. I needed to run and we were under pressure. And it was like, people would have said that. No. Like you evolve and you have to evolve and you have to reflect. Okay. And you have to take that moment back and say, am I that good? So for me, being in Cubic, I have to make sure I'm as good as the teams that are there or better than them to give them what they need. So for me as a CEO, my role is to get things out of their way to make decisions. My role is not to make the decisions. My role is to say, okay, what do you need to do that? Why do you need to do that? What's in your way? And what can I do to get that out of their way to get that clear path for you? So I would say to you, if you're bringing in really good caliber of people, you know, you got to let them make the decisions as well and get them to build up their confidence.
Have you changed as a person?
Changing every day, and you have to accept yourself to grow, and you have to reflect. You know, and I think it's really funny that, you know, growing up in school, growing up as we've done, you'd never use the words of, you know, reflection, transparency, you know, be yourself, be authentic. They're just words that were just never used in our education and growing up. But it's so, if you look back now, I would have said to you, you know, I was really hard work. I would have said to you 10 years ago. Definitely coming with the trading mentality, buy, sell, pressure, money, move product, like real high intense, taking that into this role then you know, you had to kind of let that go. That's an evolution. It's not, it happens in a day. So I would have said that was tough. We were building out technology. Technology didn't work. Cars didn't work. It was pressure. So I would say to go on to 2015, 2016, raising money, you know, we're, you know, it was tough. Our first million was hard. Then we raised a 20 million. Then we raised a 40 million. It seemed to have got easier, is what I'd say to you. But we started getting really robust on our numbers and really showing that we could deliver and execute. I would say to you, 2019 was a real tipping point for the business because, you know, at that stage, we had a decent balance sheet. And we're close and breaking even. We weren't cash flow positive, but we were breaking even. We've maintained that as we've gone along. So we started becoming EBITDA positive. So I think that's a great thing for the team, a great thing for the company. But then you have to stand back and look and go, okay, am I in the way? And I think that's sometimes where founders feel that it's all them. Mm-hmm. So I would have taken a very much a different approach of, you know, am I in the way? Am I good enough to lead this team? Because the team I have, like, they're serious caliber now, you know, and you have to understand, you know, and I would have talked very openly with a gentleman called John Purdy, okay, a really, really good guy from Ergo, and he's a spin-out called Fernergo as well. Really, really good guy, and he's a little bit ahead in his journey in companies than I. So I would say to you, a bit more mature, a bit more experienced than I had at the time. And I brought John in, I think it was 2016, to sit around the table with my team to say, look, you know, you've won the game. To get to here, but Barry wants to win the league, and you may not be all strong enough to win the league, so there's going to have to be difficult decisions made in the next couple of years, and Barry's going to have to make those decisions. Okay, so it was a real, okay, fine, you know, and that's where you have to stand back and look at and go, can I perform? Can I step up? And that's where you need to take that balance. And, you know, the biggest value in Cubic is the team. Okay. So for me, if you look in there, it is the team. That's our highest value asset in there. And if I can get that team performing and get them doing the right thing, we can take on anything. We could sell nappies. They're that good. They are really, really good people.
We talked about this earlier, back the jockey, not the horse.
100%.
But talk to me, where does the self-awareness come from, though, Barry? Because a lot of the stuff you said there, it's very self-evident and it's logical, but we know people aren't logical,
yep.
Especially entrepreneurs. We're not a logical breed. But where does this self-awareness come from?
My wife would say I'm logical after getting her master's last week.
Because do you rely on mentors, or has this been a personal journey? Where does this come from?
It's definitely not a personal journey. If people say it's a personal journey, I think that's unfair on any entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are always soaking up. We're sponges. Okay. Now, some soak up more than others, and some are a bit more open and transparent than others, but we all soak up, and we look, and our tentacles are always out. I would have said to you, a big defining moment for me in my life when I was 11, my mum passed away, and I became an adult that day. So tough time, tough decision. You come home to an empty house, so you had to learn to wash your clothes. Not that my dad didn't wash my clothes, but my dad was working. So you had to become self-sufficient very quickly in life. I had a sister. She was out doing her stuff. I was doing my stuff. You know, my dad then decided, let's emigrate to Chicago. Went to Chicago. We lived there for 2 years. He didn't really enjoy Chicago. He said, let's come home. We came back to Dublin. I said, I want to go back to Limerick. I went and stayed with my gran for another year. And then my dad said, look, I'm getting married. You know, we need to get the family back together, come back up to Dublin. So I would have had a lot of transient time. Mm-hmm. So I would have had experiences that others didn't have at the age of 11 and 12. Mm-hmm. Out of a tragedy, something good comes out of it. Hopefully that's the product you get to see here today a little bit that made me resilient and understand that. So I think that really got me to learn no is not an option. You know, if you want something, you have to go and get it. I'd say to you, in the last 5 or 8 years, it's really how you get there. It doesn't have to be as rough and tough and cuts and bruises along the way. You can get a bit more polished. And the only way to do that is really talk to people that have done it or have gone on that journey. And you can also talk to people that haven't been successful. That's also success for me because they've understood something and they'll change how they do it. So success for me doesn't have to be because you had an exit, or in our case, a partial exit, or it doesn't mean that your technology is brilliant. You know, an entrepreneur is a really tough journey. Okay. You're managing people. So talking with other entrepreneurs, I love it. I love going to Neary's. Okay. I love having a pint. One of the defining moments for me was when I walked in, Noel behind the bar went, well done, lad. That to me was cool. So that's a defining moment for me. You know, so I'd say to you, sitting down and having conversations with people opens your mind an awful lot. I've done an awful lot of things the wrong way, I would say to you. I failed really long and costly. And for me, sitting with any other entrepreneur on the journey, I say to them, let's figure out how you can do this quicker than I did. Mm. That's what it should be about. It shouldn't be about, give me shares, right? I'll help you. No, no, no. Come on. What's it about? Like, get them successful. As you said, there's amazing entrepreneurs in Ireland. We'll talk about some of them. Like, they're brilliant, but it's not because they've got the best product. They're actually really good entrepreneurs. Mm. And that's, as we said, back the jockey. And that's what it should be about. So I would say to you, that was a real defining moment for me. You know, growing up, I've always had money, is what I would say to you, that I've always been, I had the ability to go and make money for myself. I would have said I had a really tough time. Then, 2008, 2009, the world started crashing. Okay. 2010, 2014 was really tough for me. I would have said on a personal level, in investments that I had made that went completely wrong. And then I was put in a headlock. Okay. And then separate to that, trying to set up a business in the worst time ever. Okay. And then trying to raise money. Right. So I would have said there was a lot of pressures in there. But, you know, perseverance, resilience is there. And again, the people around me, you know, I felt I couldn't let those down. So my family, the team that I work with, but the team really got supportive behind me as well and didn't want us to fail. So it really created a strong community in there. And that is there today.